Good evening, good evening. And hasn't it been a wonderful week? Here's our fourth night of our revival. Let's start our evening service by turning to page 491, standing for page 191. 191, singing "There is Power in the Blood." Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Third verse. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonder power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And let's turn to page 201, singing "Grace Greater Than Our Sin." First, third, and last verse.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there were the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Third verse.
Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive?
Let's sing it.
Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all
be seated.
Well, praise the Lord, and it's good to be here in the house of the Lord here on a Wednesday night. And so with no Wednesday noon service and our 7 p.m. revival service, a good crowd, have everybody here. We do want to remember Ellie Proctor in our prayers tonight, Sister Jean's granddaughter. She got moved over to Kindred Hospital, but is doing a little better, but she's got a real high fever. It's going back up, so keep her in your prayers, if you would, please. And then we also are very grateful to have some visitors here with us tonight. My friend Ben down here, it's great to have you with us. And then one of my dear friends, Brother Matt Richardson there in the back, good to have you with us tonight, sir. And we're looking forward to a great night here in the house of the Lord. I'm looking around. If I see anybody else that's new to us, I don't think so, but it's good to have all you old folks here too. Not in age, but in... Brother Chuck, I thought about this today when I went to go see, I went to the nursing homes today to visit some folks, and I saw a mallard duck. It's been a while since I saw one, but then I thought about this. The mallard duck I saw had a ski mask on, and you call that a robber ducky. But, No? Okay, it wasn't any good. All right, I'm moving on. I want to give you guys just a few announcements, and then Sister Sierra Morton's going to come and sing for us. Tonight at the end of service, we are going to receive our offering for a special missions project. We did identify our friends Dwayne and Tammy Wright in Ethiopia. They are looking to build a church, and they need to buy about 2 to 3 acres of land, which is similar to what we have here. And it's about $150,000 an acre there. They were looking to raise $250,000. They've got $210,000. So if you give $40,000, we'll just meet their goal tonight. But whatever you can give, we'll receive that near the conclusion of service. And all of that missions money will go straight to the Wright family. Also, speaking of missions, one of our missionary partners, SOS, Saving Our Souls Ministries, down in Xenia. They've been here before. I'm in contact, going to try to get them to come back up. But they go in to those human trafficking rings and rescue people out, men and women, and really do a great job with that. And so we are looking to help Jeremiah and Carolyn with some supply needs. And so there is a box, a container in the fellowship hall, and there are lists out there of supplies that they need. We're going to run that through November. Instead of our canned food drive this year, we're going to be doing this. Or instead of the Haiti bus like we've done in the past, those different things, we're doing this one specifically with that movie, The Sound of Freedom, and just where we live at. Human trafficking is a big, big problem around here in 75 and 70, so we felt that would be a worthwhile thing. So Sister Sierra Morton has done all the legwork and taken care of that for us, so appreciate Sister Sierra. And so I'm not going to throw her under the bus, but maybe if there was any questions, you could see her. But the list is out there. It's fully filled out. And then I would encourage you, we do have Grow tomorrow night, as long as it doesn't rain. Youth parents, the parade is tomorrow, so our youth group is going to be in the parade and handing out tracts and candy there. Now, youth, you can't throw it. You got to hand it to them, which is good. Get up close and personal and hand out the gospel to somebody. That's going to be a wonderful opportunity for us. Men, we have men's prayer breakfast this Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Brother Brad Morton is our devotion this week, so I pray that you'll be here for that. And then also this Sunday, we have a baby shower for Sister Maddie Cockman at 4 p.m. in the fellowship hall. That's adult ladies only, and we ask no children go to that, please. It's just one of those times of one of the things we do where just the adult ladies can hang out there. And then obviously the big news is that we start our two services. And so you look around our sanctuary on a Wednesday night and see how full it is. And Sunday morning we've got no shot anymore really of just being in here all together. So this Sunday morning we start services, early services at 9 a.m. and then Sunday school hours at 10 a.m. and then the later worship is at 11 a.m. Sunday nights at 5 p.m. haven't changed, and Wednesdays at noon and 7 p.m. haven't changed. But 9, 10, and 11. I tried to keep it as simple as possible so that we could kind of, and I was telling the Bulls tonight, if you get here at 9, 10, or 11, you'll be here for something. So if you come in the middle, you'll be here for something. So just get here at 9, 10, or 11. There's something to be going on. There'll be some preaching or teaching or something to be going on. So I'm excited about that as the Lord continues to grow our church and as we can see God's blessings flow down upon us. So with all that being said, I'm going to pray tonight. We're going to have Sister Sierra come and sing for us. Reminder, again, we'll have that missions offering near the conclusion of service. And so you prepare your heart for that. And then hasn't it been a blessing? So I don't forget, hasn't it been a blessing to have Dr. Hudson here this week? We give. Praise the Lord. He's blessed my soul, and we had him here just on a Sunday as our guest speaker, but having him here all week has really been a super blessing to us, to our church, and I really have sensed a spirit of revival in this church, and so prayerfully after tonight, we'll continue that spirit, and God will continue to move. Well, let's have a word of prayer together, and then Sister Sierra will come, and we'll hear from Dr. Hudson. Father God, we just pray today that you would help us, Lord, to open our hearts and our ears, even as Sister Sierra sings, that we would begin to soften our hearts, that our minds, through the preaching of the Word of God, would be renewed and restored, revived tonight, and that it would move from hearing the Word to doing the Word. That tonight we would be so careful, Lord, not to grieve the Holy Spirit, but to yield to Him. That we might get every single ounce of what you want us to have tonight. And Lord, when we leave this place, let us not have revival end, but it would just be the beginning, that we would go out, be revived in our hearts. Father, the most important thing we can do is be a Great Commission church, that it would revive us to remember that we need to spread the gospel. Father, I do pray tonight that should there be one in this room, man, woman, or child, that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that by the end of this service, they would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they would readily accept by repenting and believing. And tonight, Lord, we pray that if that one is here, that you'd begin to move the Holy Spirit, convict their hearts even now. Lord, we know that as many as are led by the Spirit, to them they become the sons of God. Father, I'm praying for tonight that there'll be someone here tonight that becomes a child of yours. Father, it's the most important thing that could happen tonight. So, Father, we pray that you begin to move that way now. Father, bless Sister Sierra as she sings. Lord, let it bring glory to your name. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you. everybody. Well, it's good to be back in God's house. Amen. Listen to the words of that song. I think that's what Paul was saying when he said, for me to live is Christ. Well, I thought about the words and the meaning and the beautiful message there. It's good to be in God's house, and I told you these days would go quick. And how in the world is this Wednesday night already? But here we are, amen. And I want to thank Pastor Thompson and all y'all for the privilege of being here. I never take that lightly. I mean that, and it's been an honor to come and be with you folks, make new friends, and just to worship the Lord together. It's a good thing, amen, and it's just been good to be here. Good to meet Mr. Terrell here. That's a wonderful name, partner. I like that. And, if he was my daddy, I'd be Terrell Terrell. Amen. Wouldn't that be neat, you know? But anyway, good to see Matt. I've known Matt pretty much all of his life, and so it's good to see him. And all of y'all, thank y'all. Many of y'all were able to be here every night and every service, and maybe you had to miss a night or two, but this is a good group tonight. This is wonderful, and it's a good thing. Amen. And don't listen and God speak to your heart and make a decision and then walk away. Don't do that. You know, let that grow. Amen. And to bear fruit. But it's just good to be here. God bless you. Let's look at Jeremiah 6. I was going to preach tonight on how tall is God. Everybody thinks I'm crazy, but I think I figured it out. And let me give it to you just a nutshell. Lord, I just felt led to go another way. I believe I told the preacher last night I'm probably going to preach on how tall is God. And he looked at me like a calf looking at a new fence, you know. But Bible says that God's right hand hath spanned the heavens. Think about this. God's right hand hath spanned the heavens. You know. Then the thought struck me, a man's hand is 1/11 of his height normally, and the universe we know is about 24 billion light years. I said, hey, we got numbers here. You know? And so if you got 24 billion light years, and that's the span of a man's hand, then that's 1/11 of the size of God. But it's, I know God's everywhere. I get that. But it's a great big hand, amen? No man's able to pluck us out of his hand. Well, I guess not. You know, at that size, it's a strong hand. It's a giving hand. It's a saving hand. We might preach that someday. We'll see. But tonight, I want to look at Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse number 16. Again, the Lord changed gears. I believe it was of the Lord. Said, no, not that, but this. And Jeremiah 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. These people were disobedient, but I believe we can be obedient. God still said to walk in to ask for the old paths. We'll talk about that tonight for just a little while. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, that we have it, Lord, in our language and in our hand. And Lord, I pray that you would help me, Lord, not to say anything amiss or wrong or anything that would harm or tear down. But Lord, I want to lift Christ up. And Lord, if there be one here tonight that doesn't know him and know for certain that heavens are home, with all these folks here, we pray together that this will be the night that that's settled. Help them to understand, Lord, that salvation is not something that we pay for or that we get because we're in a denomination or trying to be good. But, Lord, it's a gift that you give, a gift that Christ purchased on Calvary when he died for our sins. And, Lord, I pray that they would, Lord, tonight get the issue of their soul settled once and for all. And, Lord, then to folks here, I don't know the burdens or the questions or the situations that each one is in. But I know we've never been at this spot in the journey before. Lord, we'll never be again together when we reach at this spot of our lives and this particular group. And so, Lord, this is a unique time, and I pray that we would not let it slip, but, Lord, that we would see, Lord, the purpose to which you would give it accomplished in each of our lives. Lord, have your will and way now, and when it's all said and done, Lord, what you do for us, help us to remember to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're living in strange times. They are. I know we've You've heard preachers say that as long as you've been listening to us. But things are they're changing so fast. It's I've told you all week, I'm 68. I've already had a good life. But I worry about what my grandchildren might face if the Lord were to tarry. What in the world are they going to see if it keeps changing as fast as it is? Does that make sense? It's almost unbelievable. I grew up watching TV like most of you all did. Just think of how TV has changed. You remember Ricky and Lucy? You know, that's spiritual, isn't it? Lucy was always wanting to try to get in the show, and Ricky didn't like that. You know, they went round and round. And I'm not one. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but they had separate beds. Separate beds. Now, the Bible says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Married couples ought to every now and then together read 1 Corinthians 7. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a gift that God gives to married couples. But Hollywood, when I was a little kid, Hollywood was so careful, if you will, not to say anything that might be offensive or risque or whatever you want to call it, you know, to not get too close to the line. I mean, they had married people with separate beds. I mean, you know, sounds kind of silly to us now, but think of where we've come from there till now. Lord have mercy. Holly was not afraid of offending anybody now except a bunch of communists or something. I mean, they sure not worried about offending us. But look how far we've come. The stuff that's on TV today, I don't think ought to be watched by any child of God. I mean that. I mean, why in the world? What's on the TV today? Just NBC, ABC, CBS, you know, network TV, put rabbit ears. Do they still have rabbit ears? Do they still have them? We had rabbit ears. Didn't have a switcher. Whoever's turn was had to stand over by the rabbit ears and put tinfoil on it and stick their leg out. You know, remember that? You know, try to get reception. You know, now you really know how old I am. But anyway, what's on just network TV? I'm not talking about, you know, HBO or anything like that. Just network TV. What's on network right now is far worse than what made the old-time preachers preach against going to the movie show. They preached against going to the movie show because they felt the influence that it might be on the child of God. But what's on your TV today, just flip on Channel 7 or whatever it is far worse than what made them against it then. I'm just pointing that out. We've seen a time, and there's been such an attack, it seems to me like. And think about this, parents. You know, in our house, we had this rule, if they cuss, you got to switch the channel. I'm still alive. It didn't kill me. How did that hurt me? I'm here. I'm not perfect, but I've got perfect grandkids. God's been good to me. Amen. You know. Switch it. I can still hear my dad. Turn it. He could be in the back bathroom with the water running. He'd stick his head out. Turn it. You heard something, you know. Only had three channels. We burned up three channels and sometimes, go to bed. I mean, you know, what else you going to do? But I tell you what. I thank God for parents that didn't want that filth coming into me and my sister's mind. And they thought that our home was a place where we don't blaspheme God, and our home was a place where we don't put up with the list of sex, and our home is a place where we don't promote false thinking. Somebody come up on your porch and act that way, you'd grab a shotgun and run them off, but you come in the house and turn the TV on and watch it till midnight. Same thing. Same thing. There's been an attack upon the... And now it's not just the TV. You parents, bless your hearts. Computers? I'm not against computers, but they seem to be against me. But my grandkids come over. No, Papa, you know. When we talk about computers, they keep using the word illiterate, you know, when they talk about me. But anyway, you got to watch what they see on this computer. You got to be careful. That? If I see my grandkids, can you? You know, I'm not even computer savvy, but what's on a phone? The damage that could be caused, and the ideology, and the lust can be inside it, and this crazy social media, I'm not against it. But ask any pastor that's been pastoring long about couples that come in and they have marital problems. It all started with some old high school sweetheart. Hi, stranger. And here you go. I'm not saying it's wrong to get up with old high school friends. I'm not saying that's wrong. But I'm saying it's wrong to let it go to a place that ought not to be. There's such an attack upon, abortion is an attack upon the home. Same-sex marriage is an attack upon the home. I mean, even children of God that kind of try it for a while. There was a sign in Hollywood of a pawn shop, a big old sign, wedding rings for rent. And people walked by and they were puzzled. Is it a joke or do they mean it? I mean, I don't know. It just, that's what the sign said. That's a, I mean, for better or for worse, for richer or for poor. I mean, folks, I know marriage and divorce is a big subject, and I know there are grounds for divorce. I get all of that. And if you've been through that heartache, I'm your cheerleader. I'm counsel enough people to know that life gets complicated. Amen. You know, the hurts can be very, very deep. And you go, from, like we said the other night, you go from here and go on and try to serve God. But you listen to me. These will throw away marriages and quit the first. You know, people want the perfect deal, and then the perfect deal turns into an ordeal, and then they want them a new deal, and then they go through that cycle. And you listen to me. The homes from one man and one woman till death do you part. Start there. Amen? That, bless God. That, when I was little, pregnant was almost a holy word. You didn't even say it. You don't even say it. Boy, I got... You say, are you 68 or 168? You know, I'm 68. That, we said, you know, the Smiths are in the family way. That, he said, Brother Charles, that's kind of silly. It's a lot better than the language that's used today on the magazines you can check out at Kroger's. That's, God help us. I remember when kids could enjoy a time of innocence. You know, just be kids. Good days. Y'all my age, you remember when you left the house right after you got your Cheerios and you just gone till lunchtime, out running through the neighborhood, over through the woods, downtown to get an ice cream cone? Mom and Dad didn't worry about us, and we was 12 years old. You parents now, you don't let your kids do that. You can't. You can't. That's we're living in sad times. The let me talk. I've been chasing rabbits all week, I know. You parents with children, young babies or little kids, Paul Dixon, he said something to me when I was in college I thought was so good. He said, think about this. You know, when you're starting to talk to your kids about these things, he said, number one, you're going to have to talk to them before they get their information from a locker room. And you're probably going to have to talk to them before you want to, but let it be on your terms, not somebody else's. Amen? There's a lot being taught in school systems today. It just don't need to be taught. I mean, some things just come handy after you get married. Amen? I mean, it's just the way that God made us. Are we communicating here? Are you on the same path? But y'all with kids, you know, little kids. Paul Dixon said something to me that I thought was good. He said, have your family devotion and start with Genesis 1. And when you say it's ready, not when Phil Donahue says it's ready or Oprah, when you say it's you're ready, you sit down and just start reading. And what you're going to come to is male and female. You're going to come to babies and how babies come into this world. You're going to come to the perversion of that and what God thinks about it when his plan is changed. And in the first few chapters of Genesis, you're going to cover the main basics right there, mom and dad, Bible open, kids in a circle, right before you pray, looking the kids in the eye. Do you understand that, honey? Have you got any questions? It's okay to ask us. That's a whole lot better from them setting up and putting something on Google and checking it while you're not home. Does that make sense? God help us. God help us. Jeremiah, let me hurry along. Jeremiah's preaching here. To people that are that are backslidden. And they got in the backslidden condition by not obeying those the ancient commandments that God had given. And when God began to say, you need to go back to the old paths, you need to go back to what worked, then they rebelled against it and said, no, we won't. You read Jeremiah and you read chapter after chapter after chapter, it's almost like a wheel spinning. That subject and that those terms come up over and over and over again. That I was kidding you about being so old. But folks, I hope I got a few years left, as far as I know I do. But I'm getting, and you all my age, you get to where you got a perspective on things that you didn't have when you were 25. Now, you young folks, hang in there. Somebody asked Jack Hiles, was you alive when they had, was you on the ark? He said, of course not. I said, well, why didn't you drown? and now listen, I'm not that old. I'm not that old. But I'm old enough to have seen a lot and seen kind of the, you know what I'm saying, trends? You all my age do. You remember in Ezra chapter number 3? When they came back from the Babylonian captivity and they got the foundation of the temple, the rebuild all made, and the Bible says that the young people cheered and they rejoiced, but the old men wept because they remembered the temple the way it used to be. The young people was all excited about this new one, and they didn't understand why the old men were weeping. I remember churches full. It didn't matter who was preaching or who was singing. They just came. I remember invitations that lasted an hour. I remember prayer meetings where people thanked God that he was going to save their loved one tonight. They were so full of faith and so helped me. They got saved. I mean, it was amazing. I just remember. I remember a commitment, and I'm not saying everything's gone to pot. I'm not saying that at all. Y'all in a wonderful church here. You're talking about going to two services. Well, good night, Irene. Let's say hallelujah. Amen. I mean, most churches in America don't talk that way. They don't have to. But I'm telling you, folks, I get around, and what I am seeing is older and smaller. Older people and smaller crowds. Older people, smaller crowds, here and there and yonder. They're still preaching the gospel. They're still good folks. They're still in there plugging. But you listen to me. You have something wonderful here, and praise God for that. But nationally, we're falling away from where we used to be. That, God help us. That's Jeremiah's preaching in our text to a bunch of people that just said no, they would not. Down through the ages, when God is, and you say, Brother Terrell, what do you want to do? You know, get an old adding machine? You know, and all of us wear, you know, black woolly suits and all of that. I'm not saying that and drive Model T Fords around. Now, would that make you happy? You're missing the whole thing. You're missing the whole thing. I'm not against computers. I'm really not. I'm not against computers. I'm not against you coming to the altar to repent and preach or something. You could repent while you're up if you wanted to, brother. It would have been all right. I'm not, computers, technology, cell phones, they're fine if they're tools, if they're handled right. We get that. But when it comes to the worship of God, there are things, it's okay to change that stuff. You don't need to have an old adding machine that you pull the thing down. You can pull your phone out and add if you want to. You know, buy a spreadsheet. Software, does that make sense? You know, get you one of them, do that. Fine. But when we start changing things that God said are eternal, when we start changing the wrong things, then we find ourselves in a place that God never wanted us to be. Are you still here with me? That's Cain, he thought he would improve on, and he brought fruit. Saul decided he would improve on it, and so he kept the best for the Amalekites. Samuel heard said, "What meaneth in the lowing of the sheep?" Israel said, "We don't want God as the king. We want Saul." They went and built a Tower of Babel to reach to the sky. What were those people doing? They weren't giving up on religion, but yet they thought they had a better way to go about it. They were changing things that should never, ever be changed. And they got into trouble. Remember 2 Samuel chapter number 6? But Baal, not the false god Baal, but the place Baal. That's confusing, I know. But the Ark of the Covenant was there. Remember that? And David sent for it. Now stay with me. And he sent for it to be brought back, the Ark, to be brought back to Jerusalem. And down they went and got it. And the Bible says that he drave the cart, the Ark, on a new cart. Now, if you were listening last night, you need to have red lights going, rant, 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 rant. What's wrong with what I just said? What are they doing with the Ark? They put it on a cart and they drave it. Again, it kind of makes sense. Why pack it? Other churches are doing it. I mean, let's just push the thing. I mean, after all, you know, we aren't our grandpas. This is how it's done nowadays. What had God said about that ark? Remember what did he say? You carry it. It had rings on the corners. Who had to carry it? Kohathites. I'm going to give a candy bar. Amen. The Kohathites. And they were to carry it. What did David do? David got the ark and he put it on a cart and he drave it. And by the worldly standards, it was an incredible success. You talk about high attendance day, 30,000. They had every instrument imaginable. They were dancing around. Now, that foxtrot's okay. Don't get nervous. Amen. You know, they were dancing about the cart. They were worshiping God. They had 30,000. They had the best music in Israel. All of Israel was happy and rejoicing. And isn't this wonderful? And then that new cart hit a little bump in the road and it wiggled. And a man named Uzzah saw it. And he ran up there and he grabbed it so it wouldn't fall. And he grabbed it and God killed him. 30,000 people stopped. The music stopped. God killed him. He said, "Brother Trump, wasn't that a little extreme?" Wicked men understand not judgment, so at least you stay out of that one. God killed him. Being by the ark, he was a big shot, and if you'll study his lineage, he knew that he wasn't allowed to touch that thing. He knew that. But yet we're trying new stuff now. The Kohathites aren't carrying it, and we're doing better stuff now. And we got 30,000 people, so God's got to be impressed. And we got wonderful music, so God's got to be impressed. And I'm going to. If everybody else is breaking the rules, then I can too. And he grabbed it, and when he did, God killed him. And what's your point, preacher? My point is, because the church down the road might have a bigger crowd than my church or your church, and because their music might seem somehow or another more exciting than mine or yours, and maybe you listen to me, those are all worldly. I'm happy for big crowds, but I'd rather have a little crowd doing it right than a big crowd everybody doing it wrong. I don't want the blessing of the world upon the ministry. I want the blessing of God upon the ministry. You see what I'm saying? There was a... Where in the world did David get the dumb idea of putting it on a cart? Who's had it for the last several years? The Philistines. They run all over the country with it. We better be careful about getting our doctrine from the world when God's already told us how he wants it done. Are you with me? God help us. The Bible says to learn not the way of the heathen. Don't learn the way of the heathen. There needs to be a love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Folks, there needs to be in our worship and in our service and in our following of Christ and in our missions programs and and bus ministry and youth ministry and the preaching of the Word of God, there needs to be a clear line of demarcation between what we are and who we are and what we are doing and the ideology of the world. You see what I'm saying? You say, well, sometimes, how do you define all that? I don't know. I heard about a court case one time where a man was under arrest for pornography, and his lawyer said, you can't convict my client, and he brought out a bunch of medical books. And he said, look, here's medical books, and they've got pictures too, and so what's the difference? And one of the justices, it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and one of the justices of the Supreme Court, when he said that, he says, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. There's a lot of preaching, there's a lot of witness, and there's a lot of music. I might have a hard time defining it, but I know it when I hear it, and I know it when I see it. Amen? God gave us the old message. Like what? God gave us the old message of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we're here. That's what we're doing, to tell a lost and a dying world that they're lost. We need to tell people that they've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that the wages of sin is death. And that's not just like a goldfish. That's like Revelation 20:14 says, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Billy Sunday said it's like dying, going to hell and dying over and over and over and over. And if I got what I deserved, that's exactly what would happen to me. If you got what you deserve, that's exactly what would happen to you. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came and took my place. He did not just die for me. He died as me. I belonged on that cross. I can't prove it, but so help me. If you could find the hammer, it would have my fingerprints on it. You'd find the nail, it would have my fingerprints on it. You say that's not scientifically possible. Yeah, whatever. But I'm telling you, it would have my fingerprints. It was my hard heart was the hammer. My sins were the nails. He died for me in my place. He paid for my sin debt, was buried, but thank God on the third day arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He took the keys and shook them in the devil's face and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, ascended back to the Father and ever liveth to make intercession for us. Saved my soul when I was a 7-year-old boy. He'll save you tonight if you'll just simply trust him. Do I got to join this church to be saved? Nope. Do I got to put money in the offering plate to be saved? Nope. Do I got to pass a Bible course to be saved? Nope. You just understand that you need to be saved. Jesus loves you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you'll pray and ask God to save you, what'll happen? Well, unless God's a liar, he'll save you. Amen. We need to preach that. We're telling people nowadays just kind of be nice and smile and come up here and fill out a card and something beautiful is going to happen. What happened to repentance? What happened to my sin? What happened to being born again? Amen. It goes out the window. That's sounds nice, but it's not in your Bible. Old paths is that we need to be saved. Old paths is that you were born a sinner. Let me tell you something about them little babies. They're born sinners. They'd cuss if they knew how. Isn't that the truth? Yeah, sure would. Sure would. Cuss a blue streak. You know, but they just don't know how yet. You know why? Because they're born a sinner. Your problem is sin. And it has a price tag, and it's the devil's hell. That's why Christ came and died for you. Amen. Jesus said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. That's old paths preaching, but that's exactly the message that we need to be preaching today. We keep telling people they need to be saved, but we don't tell them what they need to be saved from. The Bible says there's still a devil's hell. I remember James Crumpton and my dad and W.B. Bingham and Howard Sears and Gerald Fleming and Eddie Bates and so many others. They preached about hell. It wasn't, ha-ha, you're going to get it. They said that with tears streaming down their face. They said that, and we sang Just As I Am for 20 minutes sometimes. And why? Because it was souls that was in the balance, and it's exactly what we're trying to do is snatch them as brands from the burning and others saved with fear, and there's nothing more important than that going on. I was talking to Brother Carter a little while ago. I asked him if he'd seen Nathan and Sierra Woodworth's new baby. They got a new baby girl. And he said he'd already seen her, I believe, if I remember right. Yeah, sweet, good couple. He's a preacher up in Circle. I preached there one night. You think I preach long here. I preached there one night about an hour and a half, you know. Preaching away. And then invitation lasted a long time. And then I gave the invitation, turned it over to the preacher, and everybody wanted to go home, I could tell. You know, I could tell. Oh, truth is, I kind of wanted to go home. You know what I'm saying? You know, we've had church now, you know. And Brother Nathan's little girl, here she come, kind of snuck up to along the side, and she slipped way over and kind of just knelt down. They'd been talking to her about salvation, what it means to be saved, and she had all kinds of questions, which is good. And a whole group of people that's so tired and just wanted to go home, and it's kind of like just church is over now, you know, come on. Brother Nathan looked at her, and he went over. He put his arm around her. He got his Bible out, and he started talking to her. You know what that meant? You all can just stay home, sit down, leave. I've got something more important right now. He dealt with his daughter. Folks, if we believe half of what we say we believe, we'd act different than most of the way we act. God help us. That too much of do you believe in Jesus, it in life, wonderful, sign my little card. Old message says that after you get saved, you ought to live different because you're saved. What's wrong with that? You say you're a legalist. You want me to be an illegalist? What do you want me to do about all that? I mean, you know, I don't like your rules. Well, you don't have to live by my rules. Let's all live by God's rules. And then there's a lot of preferences that you got, I got. You know, just maybe they're not exactly the same. That don't mean we can't love each other. Go on, be happy. See, I sounded like a right-wing ultra-liberal. Then I sounded liberal conservative in both things right there, you know. But it's pretty much down the middle. That makes sense? The Bible says, for the grace of God that brought salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteous, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If I'm saved by the grace of God and the God of the universe lives within my heart, it ought to change the way I live. Amen? It ought to be different. You say, well, you're going to start with everything in the world. I'm just going to say that the Holy Spirit of God in my heart, I need to be submissive, and so do you. But there needs to be a difference in our lives if we're truly saved. You go out and act like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world, think like the world, and then come in and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. That dog won't hunt. There's just something bad wrong there. There just is. That's a God help us. Old paths preaching with that pathos in your voice. I believe we need to get back to the old paths of winning lost souls. You say, Brother Terrell, I can't. All right. Look at me. Look at me. Just try. Just try. Get on an elevator. I don't know how many times I've got on an elevator. What number? 4, 12, 9. I don't know how many times I've said in my life, folks, just make sure the last trip is up. Have you ever led anybody to the Lord on an elevator? No, but I tried. I heard about a preacher in Chicago one time, and he got on the elevator and said, hey, let me ask you a question. If you die today, you know for sure you go to heaven. He said, I ain't got time for that. He'd already pushed like number 34. That preacher went, he said, you got time now. When we really believe that person's going to die and go to a devil's hell if he doesn't get saved, and God has put us on an elevator together, isn't it time for some kind of measures other than, oh? Amen? Just tell somebody. Have you ever told your neighbor, hey, I want you to go to heaven with me? I've got a next door neighbor named Chris. You pray for him. I've been witnessing to him. He was raised Catholic, and he's trying to get over all that. He got real mad at the priest the other day, so that was a... You know, so that was good, you know. And he He said, I almost hit him. I said, you should have. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But we was out by the back. We was trying to find the property pen. You know, Diane and I wanted to put up a little fence across the back. And we were looking for the pen. I mean, as friendly as it could be, I didn't care. He didn't care, you know. And we was out there, and I was trying to witness to him. And I said, Chris, if I got what I deserved, I'd die and go to hell. And that just blew his mind. He was thinking, he looked at me like, what kind of a neighbor have I got? You know, and I kind of scared him. But I said, the wages of sin is death. And I had sinned. I was raised in a preacher's house. But I come short of the glory of God. And it just, he couldn't, that's where we're at right now. So you pray for Chris, okay? But he's thinking. He's thinking. Here's the point. Romans 3:23, 3:10, you know, 6:23, 5, 8, 10, 9, and 10. You know those verses. At work. What, you know, when I was in college, Robert Gromacki said something to me I'll never forget. He said, when the Holy Spirit urges, just do it. I never forgot that. When you feel that nudge, you know that nudge. Say something. Ask them where they go to church. Say, hey, let me tell you the best thing that happened to me in my life. Say, can I give you something to read? Just, amen? It's old paths. New paths is don't ever bring it up. It's called lifestyle evangelism. It's also not found in your Bible. Amen? Highways and hedges. I pastored, tried to pastor for either associate or assistant. You know, when you're the assistant pastor and associate pastor and even co-pastor, the only thing that changes is the sign on your door. When you become pastor, they need to put up a sign up. This is the guy who's everything's his fault. You know, everything changes then. You know, that's all those years trying to preach, just tell a lost and I've heard so many, and I'm not against changing carpet. I think that's great. We change the carpet a lot. My Sunday school class I teach when I'm at Brain Heights, and I'm the worst teacher in the world because I'm hardly there to teach. But anyway, the carpet's awful. You know, we need to get some of those plank boards in there. I'm not against remodeling. I think y'all doing that. That's great. I think God's house ought to look the very best it can. I'm not criticizing. Please don't understand me. You know, and sometimes people come in, they say, well, what we need to do is change the choir loft seating, you know, and we need to move the welcome center down the other end of this hall, and we need to put stripes different out of the parking lot, you know. Sometimes it's a good idea, sometimes it's nonsense, and sometimes it needs to be done. I'm not against any of those things, and if they need to be done, do them. But Jesus didn't die for the carpet, and he didn't die for the stripes in the parking lot, and all of our moving stuff around isn't going to reach a lost and a dying world. Somewhere along the line, we need to get a burden on our heart and a track in our hand and a New Testament in our pocket and get in our car and drive to that spot and pray before you go in and go up and knock on that door and make a visit for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference that needs to be made. Amen? And when you leave that out, the different stripes and the different seats and paint in the room, what difference does it really make? Amen? God help us. I was preaching revival years ago in Dayton, and I was there had been several pastors in this church. And a friend of mine became pastor, and we went to Bob Evans, and we got some dinner, and they was going to have a revival and then Bible school. That was the plan. So I was to preach the revival and then Bible school. Long story short, he said, Brother Charlie said, I'll take you back to church. You can look your notes over, and I'm going to pass out some Bible school flyers. And I said, well, all right. I said, I'll go with you. He said, don't you have to study? I said, I've preached that sermon about 25 times. If I don't know it by now, you're hurting. Amen. You know, I said, I'll go with you. So he took one side of the street, and I took the other. Down through there we went. I came to a house and had a big gate, so you rattle the gate. That's very important. Because Fido is hiding right around the corner, I can promise you. It's like a rattle the gate, you know. So I was rattling the gate, and there was a man up on the front porch. I could see the church, and I'm about the first, second, third house. And I said, hey. I said, I've got some flyers for, got any kids here? And he laughed. He said, there ain't been no kids here in a long time. I said, that's all right. I walked up and said, I'm preaching down here. And I said, we're having a Bible school. If you know some kids, they'd enjoy it, you know. And I said, my name's Terrell. What's your name? He said, Dexter. And he said, you seem to have an accent. And I said, well, I was born in Dayton, but my people are from southeastern Kentucky. He said, I heard that. He said, I'm from Breathitt County. I know all about Breathitt County. And I said, well, Dexter, where do you go to church? He said, I don't go. And I said, well, growing up in Breathitt County, you heard the gospel. He goes, yeah. I said, how long have you been saved? He said, I've never been saved. And I said, well, why not? He said, just never did. And I looked at him. I said, Dexter, we're kind of new friends. I don't remember the exact words, but something like, I said, Dexter, you don't feel well, do you? He said, I sure don't. He said, I got cancer. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, isn't that all the more reason to get this thing settled? And he said, well, I guess. And I said, let me take a Bible and show you. Just go over it again with you. And I reached in my pocket, and I left my New Testament in the car. I thought, you dumb preacher. And I said, Dexter, you got a Bible? he goes, there's one in there on the coffee table. I said, can I go get it? He goes, yeah, go ahead. I went in there. That's the biggest Bible I ever saw in my life. It was that thick. It's about that wide. I come walking out with that thing like a wheelbarrow. I honestly, you know, I'd give $100 for that Bible, you know. And I come walking it out, and he had his chair, and he had one of them little round tables, you know. I laid it on there, and I said, all right. And I turned the pages, you know. And I, right here, the letters was that big. You ought to have seen that thing. I love that Bible, you know. For all of sin to come short of the glory of God. You know, Dexter, you've sinned. Oh, yeah. The wages of sin is death. I know. God committed his love toward us. Christ died for us. That's true. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dexter, will you right now, in your own word, just bow your head and invite Christ into your heart. And he just bowed his head and started praying the sweetest prayer he ever heard, invited Christ into his heart. I said, the Bible says if you'd ask him, he'd save you. What does it say right there? It says he'd save me. What did you just do? I just asked, what does that mean? He said, I'm saved. I said, well, Dexter, that's wonderful. I said, I'm going to give the preacher your name and address, and he's going to come back by and see you, and he can explain more to you about baptism, and they can help you get into church. If you want to be baptized, and it's a great thing, they'll even help you if you want to do it in a wheelchair or whatever. Talked with him, had prayer, and then I said, Dexter, I said, isn't that something? Grow up in Breathitt County, and there was another Baptist church at the end of the block. Lord help us. You know what I'm saying? You know, so they got a Baptist church here and a Baptist church at the end of the block. And I said, right here in between two Baptist churches, and people's probably knocked on your door down. How long you lived here? 20 years. Probably knocked on your door many times. He said, you're the first person that ever came up and knocked on my door.
Thank God.
Amen. I said, between two Baptist churches. Yeah. He said, in the summertime, I can hear him singing at the same time. So then they're singing, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave, having church and singing Jesus saves and getting in their cars and going home. And there's nothing special about me. Absolutely nothing. Any of you all here that saved by the grace of God, you could have led that and would have led that man to Christ. It's just that nobody cared. Someday we'll stand before God with bloody hands. If we tell the wicked of their way and they don't repent, then God said, you've done your part. But when we fail to warn them, the Bible says we'll stand before him with bloody hands. Let God put somebody on your heart. Do you know that song, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart? You know that? Want to sing? I want to sing. You think you can sing? You want to sing because you think you can sing? No, I sing because I can't help it. Lord, lay some soul, sing with me, upon my heart, and love that soul through me, and may I bravely do my part to win that soul for thee. Some soul for thee, some soul for thee. This is My earnest plea, help me each day on life's highway to win some soul for thee. Let Jesus love somebody through you. You can win people that I can't. I mean that. You can win people that Pastor Thompson can't. I mean that. God puts, he crosses our paths. Philip out there in the desert crossed paths with the eunuch. That's like two people walking across Indiana and all of a sudden running into each other. I mean, how do you explain that? There's a God in heaven that makes our paths cross with people that we need to share the gospel with. And God help us. There's old Paz music. I know that's a big subject. I know there's, you say you're against new music. Well, Amazing Grace was new when it was written. You know, Beulah Lamb was new when it was written. But he has put a new song in my heart. You listen to me. When what we're singing sounds like the devil's music, and rock and roll is a vulgar term to describe the act of marriage. That's where it came from. And if rock is a great thing, then why did God never think about it until the devil did? Shh, be quiet now. And when the music sounds exactly like some freaky rock show, we just put in some religious words, something's wrong. Is that fair? Now, I know there's different. I like bluegrass. Give me a mandolin and a banjo and a guitar and I'm good. You know, give me a cornfield tenor and that high lonesome sound. You know, I like it. I pastored Marine Heights for a long time. I never changed the music to bluegrass because it was not going to work there. I could promise you, you know. And so some music works some places. It won't work in others. And some, you know, I like classical music. I mean, I love Dvorak, you know. It's intelligent, thank God. Yeah, but you listen to me. There's a devil. You know what? I'm going to hurry. Ezekiel 38, Isaiah 14. Let me just say something. This is fair. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. The two classic passages on when Satan was created. And in very short verses, Ezekiel 28 says, in him was tabrets and pipes. Isaiah 14 says vials. You got percussion instruments, wind instruments, and stringed instruments. All of those things mentioned with the creation of Satan. Satan knows music. And if we spend about half of our worship services around music, don't you reckon the devil would try to sneak into that and to pollute worship that ought to be going to God and make it an unfit offering to pull before our God? Does that make sense? What I said fair? Yeah. Yeah. I like old Paz prayer. Going into the throne room of God. Listening for the rustling of the mulberry bushes. I like old Paz preaching. That Brother Thompson, Pastor Thompson, I got you a poem. Are you ready? If you're preaching from the Bible, well, preach on. If you're longing for a revival, just preach on. Preach on sin and condemnation. Preach for sinners, his salvation. Preach the Christian's consecration, but preach on. If your sermon's from the Lord, preach on. Never mind if some look bored. Just preach on. If the devil looks down on it, if the critics frown upon it, many souls depend upon it. Preach on. If you step on someone's corns, well, preach on. Take the bull right by the horns and preach on. Even though we may not like it, even though some try to fight it, where there's wrong, the Lord can right it. Preach on. Let not time be a restriction. Preach on. If a sinner's got conviction, preach on. Christ can save his soul from hell, cleanse his heart, and make him well, even if it's after 12. Preach on. From the law to revelation, preach on. Christ for every situation, preach on. Even if your members doubt it and say they can do without it, if you've talked with God about it, preach on. Think of Christ's own message clear, and preach on. There for all who wish to hear, preach on. All are sinners, and they must know that his blood did freely flow, and he can wash them white as snow. Preach on. In the Holy Spirit's power, preach on. He'll reward you in his hour. Preach on. Broken hearts and sins forgiven, blessings here so freely given, and a crown up there in heaven. Preach on. You listen to me, folks. You pray for your preacher. You love your preacher. Don't let anybody talk about your preacher and stand behind your preacher. And if you hate banana splits, but he has banana split night, just choke on it and swallow that thing. Amen. But you get with the program. Amen. Love your preacher. Thank God for him. I'm for old-fashioned. I like old Paz fire. I'm out of time. You all know that. I like a... I preach on. I like that. There was a young African pastor who was martyred for his faith. I don't know if you've ever read this or not, but his family, after his death, they were going through his personal effects, and they found this, not this paper, it's a copy, that he had written maybe just hours, maybe minutes, certainly not more than a day or two before he was martyred for the cause of Christ. And this is what he wrote, young African pastor. He said, I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide is reliable, my mission is clear. I won't give up or shut up or let up till I've stayed up and stored up and prayed up for the cause of Christ. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach until everyone knows, work till he stops me, and when he comes for his own, he will have no trouble recognizing me because my banner will be clear. God, give us some more people like that. Amen? Sold out, on fire. I like the old past. That's what I wanted to raise my kids in. It's what I wanted our home to be based upon. It's what I've preached for 40 years, and the whole truth is I don't know how to preach anything else. Someday I'll stand before the one that died for me. And when he comes, I don't want to be ashamed. And folks, he's coming. He's coming. It may be tonight, and if it is, that's fine with me. Did you ever... I used to preach... Look at John 20. I used to... I got one more point. I look at John 20. Now watch this. Preach on. I preached with Clyde Box. Clyde Box was a wonderful friend of mine. He preached at Moraine Heights first Sunday in May for years. He came so often the first Sunday in May and preached, he told me I'm coming whether you ask me to come or not. That's what he did, you know. So I let him preach. Here he come, you know. And he's the first one that I heard preach on this. But when, and maybe Pastor Thompson's already preached on this, I don't know. But this is absolutely fascinating. If you love the Bible, this is just, you'll never forget this. If you don't know what I'm about to say, you'll never forget it because it is so incredible. When Jesus was laying in the tomb after he was died, then he arose from the dead victorious. Amen? And he left behind an empty tomb. Y'all know where I'm going with this? Matt knows. And they come running into the tomb. And look at John 20 and verse 7. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Well, what in the world? Amen. What in the world? They ran into that empty tomb, and they looked over on the side, and there was a napkin. And it was about his face, but when Jesus rose, he took that napkin, and he folded it in the tomb, and before he left, he laid it to the side. Isn't that... Why? In Bible times, when the master of the house, when they had a meal, when he would stand up, if he just wrapped it up and pitched it and walked out, then the servants knew the meal is over and it was time for them to come in, clean the table, you know, and be done with the day. But if the master stood up and he folded the napkin and he laid it where they could see it and stepped out, that folded napkin meant, I'm just going to be gone a little while. I'm coming right back. Glory to God, have mercy. And it's still folded. He's still coming. And any day. And when I stand before him, if God will help me, I'm still going to be preaching and teaching and singing and standing in the old paths that's come down for 2,000 years. I might have a cell phone in my pocket, but religious, spiritually, I want to be on the old paths. If you're here tonight and lost, trust Christ. Isn't it time to get it settled? Isn't it time to get it done? Child of God, if sometimes what helps me is, Lord, I ain't quitting. I'm just not going to quit. I don't understand everything. I'm kind of tired, kind of a little bit up, most fuddled about something, you know, but just, Lord, I want to know you, and I want to be closer, and I want to grow in grace, and Lord, I don't want to mess this up, and God, I want to walk with you and talk with you, and I want to be the child, and Lord, when I rise to meet you someday, I don't want to be ashamed. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd speak to hearts. We thank you, Lord, for Lord, the old paths of truth and salvation and worship. And Lord, while so much around us changes, and Lord, while so much of that, it's okay. Lord, those things that were not to change, Lord, help us to never put the ark on a new cart. Lord, help us to never change the plan, the message of salvation. God, help us to never change, Lord, those things, those principles that are eternal. And Lord, I pray now you'd speak to hearts. We thank you for this dear church. We thank you for each one here. Lord, if there be one lost, I pray they'd tell their friend or come and speak to one of these staff guys. Come tell me. But Lord, just to say I want to get it settled tonight. Lord, may it happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano's going to begin to play. If God's speaking to your heart, there's an altar here that you can use. Would you come? Would you get it settled? Whatever it is. You might just need to come and talk to God. Just something. Just say, God, I just want to know that I'm where I need to be. And God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And just to let God speak to your heart. If you're here tonight and you're lost, now listen to me. You might be confused by all this. What in the world are they doing? It's an invitation. These people are coming to pray. If you don't know for certain that heaven's your home, salvation is full and it's free. And the saved people in this room are not better than you. They're not smarter than you. God doesn't love them more than you. They've just invited Christ into their heart. And if you've never done that, you can do it tonight. There's a preacher here. You can come and talk to me. We'd love to help you. If you have questions, that's okay. It's all right. Jesus, he never minded when sincere people ask him sincere questions. That's okay. You get it settled. Do it tonight. Come on. God bless you.
Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. You've heard how to be saved tonight. It's been very clear. If you can accept that you're a sinner and that you need to repent from that sin, call upon the name of the Lord, you can do that very simply tonight. We're here to love you and show you from the Word of God so that you know that heaven is your final resting place, but while you're here on earth that you can bring glory to God through calling upon His name. If that's you tonight, would you just signify that? I'm going to pray for you tonight. Not by name, but here at the altar. And I'm going to pray for courage for you, that you wouldn't be ashamed, that you'd make it known tonight. If you're here tonight and you say, I need to be saved, I need to repent of my sin, accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, would you just raise your eyes at me or raise your hand, signify that tonight? Anybody here like that tonight? Just raise their hand or raise their eyes. Only my eyes are looking. Anybody like that here tonight? Says, that's me, Pastor. Anyone like that here tonight? Christian, what is it this week that's been on your heart? What is it that following those old paths, I always say about our church, We want new people, but we want the old paths. Is there anything that is finding out a revival? I don't care how long it takes. But you need to come to the old-fashioned altar. The Old Testament, they'd build an altar. It was so important to them to have a place to worship. Even the pagans did it. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, they had an altar to the unknown God. We know who our God is, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to come tonight to the old-fashioned altar and lay your burden down? Pray. Would you pray for revival in our church, in our city? Would you pray to be a soul winner? I told you a few weeks ago, I think we're a great church, but we're not yet a great, great commission church. We need to have some more soul winners. We need to have some more people who would witness, some more people on Grow on Thursday nights. Would you come and pray for that tonight? Come on. Come on. Somebody else come and flood this altar tonight. Who else would it be? Some of you leaders need to step out and lead here. We need to pray. We need to lift up the name of Jesus everywhere we go. We need to have some more folks that would get on fire for the name of Jesus. We need some more people who would get on fire and tell people that Jesus still saves. We need to get some people that are on fire to tell them that only the blood will save. Some people that tell them that the world is wicked and that we live in perilous times and that the only way that we're going to overcome that is by the one who's already overcome death, hell, and the grave, the one who's victorious, and his name is Jesus Christ. We need some people who will pray for that. We need some old-time prayer warriors, some people who would get on their knees and wear their pants out praying and lifting up the names of people who need to be saved, people who need to repent, people who are backslidden that need to get back into church. Would you pray tonight?